Morning, everyone. Welcome to Masechta Yevamos, first day of Seder Nashim. We are beginning today on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf will be learning Zechon Nishmas Losef and Zoltman. And here we begin. Beginning now the first Masechta of Seder Nashim. Seder Nashim has a total of seven Masechtas. It's the shortest Seder in Shas. Shortest Seder, and I'm not talking in terms of pages of the Gemara. There are many pages of Gemara. Yevamos is a lot. Ksuvos is a lot. It has a lot of pages, but in terms of the actual number of Masechta, so it is the shortest in few. In contrast, we just finished Seder Moed. Seder Moed had 12 Masechtas. Seder Nashim is much shorter. Seder Nashim only has seven Masechtas. And today, as we begin Seder Nashim, still we're beginning with the first Masechta, and that is Seder Yevamos. I mentioned this before, but it's always bears repeating. Why the orders of the Masechtas, meaning why are we starting with Yevamos? And then moving on from that point going forward, intuitively one would consider that there'd be another Masechta that would come before learning Yevamos. So rule number one in terms of order of the Masechtos, and Rabbi Kornfeld told me this, and I don't know what his source is, but it's just empirically so. So I don't know, you don't need a source for it; you can just simply look and see. And this is true: is that the order of the Masechtos follow from largest to smallest in terms of size of parakim. Okay, it's a great yesod. I don't know how it's going to help you in life, but it's such a great yesod. It's just true. Meaning when we go through the Masechtos in each Seder, we're always going to start with the Masechta with the longest number of Parakim, and then we scale our way down to the Masechta with the fewest number of Parakim, and think about every Seder, and it's true in every Seder. So Seder Moed, for example, we just finished. What did we start with? Masechta Shabbos. How many Parakim does Masechta Shabbos have? 24. What do we end with? We ended with Chagiga. In a moment, I'll show you that maybe we should have ended with Moed Katan. But either way, Chagiga or Moed Katan, they both have three prakim. Right? So we went from 24 down to three. So in Seder Nashim, where do we start with? We start with Yevamos. Yevamos got 16 prakim. So it is the longest, it's the longest Masechta in terms of the number of prakim. So that's an explanation of why the Seder starts with the Seder Yevamos. That's one explanation. Okay? And it's just Klal Gadol, and it works in every Seder. If you know your Masechtos and you know your number of Parakim, so the question you can ask is, what about Nezikin? Nezikin, it doesn't work out so well because the first thing that we see in Nezikin is the Babas, Baba Kam and Siyam Bam Basra. And then after that, we have Sanhedrin, and Sanhedrin is longer than the, in terms of Parakim. Each one of the Babas has 10 Parakim, and then Sanhedrin has 11, 12, thereabouts.
Considered one.
Oh, more intense. Okay, good. So, Danny, you already know that really the Bavas at one point in time were one large Masechta with 30 Parakim, and then because of all the Gemara that was written on it, so then it was broken up into three units, three separate Masechtas. In fact, that's what the name means. Kama means first, Mitzia means middle, and Bava means the gate. The first gate, the second gate, and Baba Basra, the last gate. But in other words, it was basically one Masechta of 30 Parakim, broken up. But that's why the Bavas come first. Good? Okay, so that's one answer in terms of why it is that this Masechta comes first. It's not nothing to do fundamentally with the Masechta that we're learning. It's just simply a general rule of thumb, which, to my knowledge, always works in terms of why it is that the order of the Masechtas come in the order that they do. But let's give another answer in terms of why it is that we're learning Yevamos first. So Tosfos Yeshanim, right on the Amud. So he asks this question. He offers a number of answers. Some of them are fascinating, and let's take a look at the Tosfos Yeshanim inside. Okay, I know it's a funny place to start a Masechta, but it's a global question. It's a general issue that we're discussing right now. Why are we learning Masechta Yevamos first in Seder Nashim of the seven Masechtas? By the way, which one should we learn first? So I would have nominated Kedushin. Intuitively, which one we should be learning first. Kedushin, right, that deals with the mitzvah of marriage, meaning when dealing with, in other words, if we're going to have a category of halacha dealing with women, nashim, so the first area you would start is, given the choices that we have of nedarim and nazir and gittin, and so I would have started with kedushin. I mean, the mitzvah of kedushin is the mitzvah of marriage. That would be the first place to start. And then afterwards, then we would do ksuvos. Ksuvos has to do with the actual contract of marriage. And, right, that would have been the more intuitive place to start. And meanwhile, we're starting Yevamos. Yevamos is a funny place to start. As a parenthetical note, before we begin the Tosfos Yeshanim, I'm sure everyone here is familiar. You're coming to the Daf just in the context of those who are participating in the Daf Yomi. You're coming to the Daf. I'm sure at this point you know already the mitzvah of Yibum is that when a man is married to a woman and he dies childless, so the surviving brother or brothers have a mitzvah of, well, one of them only, but we'll talk about which one later in the Masechta. One of the brothers has a mitzvah of Yibum, which means that he's going to take his sister-in-law, marry his sister-in-law, and continue the name and the legacy of his deceased brother. Okay, that's the mitzvah of Yibum. That I'm sure we all knew before going in here. So, Chamesh Yisrei Nashim Pachur Sarasayim. So now I'm asking everyone to look at the Tosfos Yeshanim. It's right on the side of the Gemara, meaning there are... Tosfos was a school of Ashkenazic Rishonim. So they didn't just write Tosfos. Tosfos is just one compilation of what they wrote, and there are others as well. Tosfos Yeshanim, Tosfos Rid, Tosfos Arash. There are a number of compilations that we have on various Masechtas. Tosfos we have throughout Shas, and then the other Tosfos in Balei HaTosfos, we have another Masechtas. And for reasons which, I don't know enough about the history, I don't know why, but the Tosfos Yeshanim got published in the Gemara together with the Rashi and Tosfos. Okay, so you see it here inside. And here he deals with the global issue of why are we learning Masechta Yevamos as Masechta number one in Seder Nashim. So Chamesh Yisrael Nashim Pochur Sarasem Yesh Makshim Amay Masal Seder Nashim Yevamos Tahas Chuli Peranasa Lo Mischalinan. And here Tosfos Yeshanim amplifies the question. Really great. I mean, not great, but I'm just saying just the way he looks at Yevamos. You know, Yevamos is a perennial. It's a catastrophe. Every single case we're going to be dealing with in Yibum, that means that somebody died. Right, what we're doing Yibum basically is picking up the pieces after somebody died. So really, we're gonna talk about it so much and so often that we're gonna become so desensitized. And Shimon died. Right, if we can count how many times I'm gonna be saying that over the course of this Masechta. Right, Shimon was married to a girl and Shimon died, and all of us are gonna be like, okay, fine, that's right, Shimon died. That's just part of the parlance of Seder of Masechta Yevamos. So, it's perennial. So, Tosfos Yeshanim is really amplifying the question. So, why start over here in Yibum? This is not a happy topic. This is a sad topic. Every day in the daf for the next 120 some daf, not every day, but most every day, we're going to be talking about death. So, it's a funny place to start. So, lo mitzchalinen v'adarab, hayelan alaschol kiddushin, uksuvos v'gitin v'achakach yevamos. Good. Okay, I'm in good company. And he says, and where should we have started? We should have started in Kiddushin and in Ksuvos and in Gittin, meaning the basic marital law between husband and wife. And Yibum is such a subcategory. In our lifetime, are we ever going to see the mitzvah of Yibum performed? Us Ashkenazim, the answer is no. Right? The Ramah says, going back for hundreds of years, the Ramah says, we don't do Yibum anymore. Meaning, given a Yibum situation, we're going to do Chalitza, not Yibum, for reasons that I'll explain later in the Masechta. The Gemara itself is going to explain, but the Ramah's position is based in the Gemara. But we don't do the mitzvah of Yibum anymore, so we're not going to see it anymore. So to study such a detailed halacha in the world of Nashim, it's strange. We begin v'acharkach yivamos v'nira mishum dechtiv ayam unasitecha choson yeshuas v'amru itecha zuseder moed choson zuseder Nashim v'im kein seder Nashim u'basu seder moed. So answer number one of the Tosfos Yeshanim is as follows. First of all, the order of the Sedarim are based on a Pasuk. Pasuk in Yeshayahu. Okay? And the Gemara Shabbos goes through every word in this Pasuk and connects one of the Sedarim with one of the words in the Pasuk. So in other words, the order of the Sedarim are set. We know that the first thing we're going to learn is Zerayim, although quite frankly we skipped it because the Daf Yomi, there's no Gemara on Zerayim with exception to Brachos, so we skipped it. So, okay. The next Seder is Moed. Okay, we just completed that. And then the next Seder is Nashim. So there's no negotiation over there. That's a given. So given that, that's a Seder. So Basar, the Basar Seder Moed, Nemesayim, Meseches Moed, Katan, David Puranasa, Lekach Hischol Seder Nashim, Meseches Yevamos, Omasmech Puranasa, Lepuranasa. Tosfos Yeshanim gives an unbelievable answer. But this answer, however, is going to have to change one of our assumptions. We thought we ended Seder Moed with Chagiga, right? You thought yesterday I finished the 27th page of Chagiga, which parenthetically I did. I mean, we did. Good? In Tosfos Yeshanim's world, Chagiga was not the last Masechta in Seder Moed. It really should be Moed Kadin. Tosfos actually mentions that back in the end of Moed, that for whatever reason, it got flipped in the Gemara. But really, it should be first Chagiga and then Moed Kadin. That should be the last two Masechtas of Seder Moed. Okay, that's not our order, but regardless. If that's the order, so then Tosfos Yeshanim says, I have answer number one. Answer number one is, look, it's a perfect fit. meaning Yevamos at the beginning of Seder Nashim, is a perfect fit to Moed Katan at the end of Seder Moed. Why? Because what's Moed Katan all about?
Death.
What's Yevamos all about? Death. And so therefore, as long as we're in the topic of Purunasa, so we're going to stay on the topic of Purunasa. We're going to go from a depressing topic to another depressing topic, keep them together, link them together, and that's the connection between the end of Seder Moed and the beginning of Seder Nashim. Right, the Gemara does this elsewhere in terms of correct order. Right after you finish Sefer Malachim, okay, you're making your way through Nevi'im. Okay, most people don't make it past Sefer Malachim. Most people don't make it through Sefer Malachim. Okay, but that's not for now. We don't do any of it. We're learning the Daf Yomi. We don't see any Tanakh. But obviously, there's other parts of the day. So Yehoshua Shoftim, Yehoshua Shoftim Shmuel, and then Malachim. What happened? What do we learn after Malachim? Sefer Yirmiyahu. Chronologically, that doesn't make sense. We're going to learn Sefer Yirmiyahu. Sefer Yirmiyahu takes us all the way to the end of Bayis Rishon and to the Churban, to the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Why do we go from Malachim to Yirmiyahu? Again, same reason. Because the end of Malachim is Purunasa, so we're going to attach Purunasa to Purunasa. Okay, so another place where we see this idea where, as long as we're in a depressing topic, so we're going to continue learning on another depressing topic. Huh?
Why?
Okay. Right. Correct. Even the answer itself needs more clarification. Why should that be? Okay. Good. But that's answer number one. Answer number two says the Tosfos Yeshayim. The Inami Mefarish Chila Eizu Isha Astur VeEizu Isha Muteres VeHadar Mefarish Kula Mila Denashi. So the answer number two. Okay. Look, in the course of studying Yevamos, you're right. In the mitzvah of Yibum, we're never going to see it in our lifetime, and it's such a strange and unusual circumstance within it. But do you know what we're going to be doing today, tomorrow, and the next some odd weeks? We're going to be learning all the arayas, right? Meaning, in order just to understand the first couple of days of Yevamos, we're going to be seeing all the Isuri arayas. So the truth of the matter is that really it is going to familiarize ourselves with the basics of who you can marry and who you cannot marry. If I just started with Kedushin, or Ksuvos, or Gittin, so I don't know the Arayas, and the Arayas are mentioned twice in the Torah, back-to-back Parshios, once in Achrimos, a second time in Parshios Kedoshim, and we're really, I mean, obviously, if you learn the Chumash, then you're in good shape. But if you didn't learn the Chumash, so how are you going to know the Arayas? Oh, that's strange. But how are you going to know the Arayas? So Yevamos is really going to familiarize yourself with all the Arayas in the Torah. That's answer number two. Good. Another answer says Tosfos. Do you know that historically this is the first mitzvah? Meaning this mitzvah that we're going to be discussing for the next four months, this mitzvah was one of the first mitzvahs that occur in the Torah. Notably, Yehuda and Tamar. Yehuda and Tamar are discussing the mitzvah of Yibum. Right, I have it queued up for the next item in the introduction. So Yehuda and Tamar is doing the mitzvah of Yibum well before the Torah was given. It's an early mitzvah. So because it's an early mitzvah, so therefore in the Masechtas, it's going to be the first Masechta that we're learning, complementing the fact that it's an early mitzvah. Ve'od yeishlamar mishum debay lemisnei lekaman sheish arayos tomorrow's me'elu kari luhu nashim. Then he gives another answer, and quite frankly, I don't understand this answer, but this answer says that, well, we're going to be learning these six women later on, so therefore we're learning 15 now and six later on. I don't know how that addresses the question, okay, but being honest. Inami lo matzi lo misne arayis mishum de'ihava teni arayis lo hava yedi'ina lema'ute de'rav ravasi de'ikla mema de'haida lo teni lo hum mishum de'lava arayis nenu lakach fene chamesh esrei nashim. Oh, okay, I see. In other words, if we're going to be familiarizing ourselves with the Arayas, then we should be learning the Mishnah later on, which is going to outline that there is another six women that are not mentioned in our Mishnah. And So why didn't we start over there? Why start over here? Okay, so Tosfos gives a technical reason. Tosfos Shonim gives a technical reason why that is. Okay, Adkan Divrei Tosfos Yeshanim. So again, a global question that before we start the Mishnah, and that is why we're learning Masechta Yevamos now. So again, a number of answers given by the Tosfos Yeshanim, connecting Paratus to Parnasa, familiarizing herself with the whole concept of Arayos, and finally, because it's an early mitzvah. Okay, let's spend 3 good more minutes discussing how it's an early mitzvah. This mitzvah of Yibum occurs already in the Torah, well before the Torah was actually given, and that is back by Yehuda and Tamar. Yehuda has 3 sons, I'm sure we're all familiar, Perek Lamed Ches in Parshas Vayeshev. Yehuda has 3 sons, and marries off his first son to Tamar. First son dies. Yehuda turns to the brother Onan and says, here you have a mitzvah opportunity. You have the mitzvah of Yibum. Go and be Miyabim, your sister-in-law. And, and Onan marries her, and the story goes on, and, see there for all the details of the story. I'm reading now from the Ramban. Ramban's comment to that pasuk, very, very interesting and very basic. Aval ha'inyan sod gadol misodos ha'torah betoldos ha'adam. Where the Ramban talks about this mitzvah of Yibum. Meaning, basically, the Ramban is dealing with a technical question, and that is Rashi understands that when the Torah says, V'yabe mosav ha'akim zera la'achicha, right, and he does the mitzvah of Yibum, and you will continue the legacy. So Rashi over there makes a comment that the son is going to be named after the deceased father. And the Ramban says, what? It just didn't happen. Meaning the deceased father was heir, and the 2 children that eventually will come out are going to be not heir. The child's name is not heir, but rather it's Peretz and Zerach. So the Ramban says, what's Rashi even talking about? The Ramban...
Is there in the name of his father?
Ah, so the Ramban says, correct. So the Ramban says, and now I'm reading, the Aval Inyan Sod Gadol Misodos HaTorah Betoldos HaAdam. This is the Ramban on Parshas Vayeshev in Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk Ches. He says, this is Sod Gadol, this is a major, you want to call it a secret, you want to call it a foundation. V'nikir lu ne'ero o'im Hashem ha'san lahem Hashem einayim l'oros v'aznayim l'shmoa. The Ramban says, this is such an intuitive mitzvah. Meaning you have eyes, you have ears, you have a bit of common sense, and you totally understand this mitzvah of Yibum. The early Chachamim knew that there is a Toelas Gadol, there is a great purpose to this whole mitzvah of Yibum. Now, if the brother could do the mitzvah of Yibum, great, and if not, you'll get another family member to do the mitzvah of Yibum. Anyone who is in the inheritance discussion is also going to be part of the Yibum discussion. So the Ramban says, before the Torah was given, you first turn to the brother, and if unavailable, then you go to any family member to do the mitzvah of Yibum. And by the way, the Ramban connects Yibum to inheritance. We're going to discuss that also later in the Masechta. That's also a big discussion in Yibum, is that the brother, the surviving brother, performing the mitzvah of Yibum, so he is going to also get a more of an inheritance, more of that discussion coming later on. I'm continuing in the Ramban. Who did the mitzvah of Yibum? So the Ramban says, again, before the Torah was given, any family member, the surviving brother, the surviving father. Now I know that sounds strange, because now we're discussing the father basically marrying his, not basically, the father marrying his daughter-in-law. And that's an Isser Men HaTorah, but so is marrying your sister-in-law. So the Ramban writes, V'lo yadanu imaya mina kadmon lifnei Yehuda. He says, I don't even know if this minhag existed before Yehuda. I can only speculate, says the Ramban, but maybe it did. Uveracious Rabbi, Amr ki Yehuda ischil b'mitzvah z'yibun t'chil. He quotes the Medrash says Yehuda was the first one to do this mitzvah. Ki kasher ki bel asod me'avosav nizdaris la'akim osav. He got the secret from his fathers, meaning he learned this mitzvah from Yaakov and Yitzchak and going back to Avraham. And so, he's the first one with the ability to perform the mitzvah. V'chasher bata Torah v'astra eishas k'sasa krovim. So now, the Ramban says, now what happens? This is interesting. The Ramban says, now the Torah was given. And what happened? The Torah now prevented Yibum. Because all these surviving relatives who originally were candidates for the mitzvah of Yibum are now X'd off because the Torah says, Arayus. Arayus now tells us that you can't marry your sister. You can't marry your sister-in-law. You can't marry your daughter. You can't marry your daughter-in-law. Right? In other words, so basically what happened is that with the giving of the Torah, how can you do Yibum? So the Ramban writes, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'atir Yisr Eishas Ach Mimnei HaYibum. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore made one allowance so that one family member, after the death of the brother, well, I gave it away, but one family member to do this great mitzvah of Yibum that existed for generations prior to the Torah was given. And v'lo ratza shiyidcha mipanav Yisr Eishas Achiyav v'haben Zulas v'Zulasah. So what the Torah did is basically carved out a heter for the surviving brother to marry his sister-in-law to perform this mitzvah of Yibam. So it's interesting. Basically, the way the Ramban views it, the mitzvah of Yibam before the Torah was given was for any family member. We would first turn to the brother or the father or any family member. And then after the Torah was given, and now you have the Yisr of Arayos, so therefore what the Torah did is carved a heter out. Well, chalitza, right. Chalitza is just simply an out from Yibum.
Yeah,
did that exist? I don't. It's a fair question. I don't know. I would assume yes, but I don't know. But v'lo ratzah shiyidcha mipanav Yisr Eishas Achiyav v'haben b'zulasam ki ba'ach horgal hadar v'vitalas korba v'lo b'hem k'mo shehizkarti. And why did the Torah single out the surviving brother? Because the most to'elus comes from the surviving brother more than all the other family members. Why that should be? So again, sod gadol. Right, big secrets. I can only give away some of the secrets. I can't give away all the secrets. And by the way, I don't know the answer. But that may be aside from the point. And the Ramban goes on to write, and what if you don't do the mitzvah of Yibum? Hine nechshav l'achzarios gedola. A strong language. The Ramban says it's an achzar. You're cruel if you don't do the mitzvah of Yibum. Kasher lo yachpots li'abem v'korin oso beis chalutz anal. Go later to where the Torah gives us the mitzvah of Yibum, all the way in Parshas Kiseitse. And you'll see that the Torah says Beis Chalutz Na'al, right? The remover of the shoe. Right? It's the way the Ramban understands it, it's pejorative, it's derogatory. The way the Torah describes the man who does not want to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum. Ki ata chalas mehem v'ra'u shetaseh mitzvah zos bechalitzas anal. And therefore, removing of the shul, it's like disdain. It's like a disgrace. Like that's, you know, this is how you feel. Okay, we're going to take your shoe off. It's really achzarius. It's cruel for somebody not to do it. V'chachme Yisrael ha'kanmoni midatam ha'in ha'nechbar hazeh hinhigam lefnim b'Yisrael ha'sos ha'maisa hazeh b'chol yorshei ha'nachala. And the chachamim did this mitzvah with anyone who was shared to inheritance. But osam shalo yibam isr ha'she'er. Provided, of course, says Ramban, that there's no issue of arayus. V'karaso ge'ula. And there's another term, says the Ramban, that is synonymous. It's not the same, but it's similar to that of the mitzvah of Yibum, and that's ge'ula, redemption. V'zeu inyan boaz v'tam nami v'ashchenos v'hamaskil yavin. And the Ramban says, and you know where we find that? By boaz and nami. Boaz, what does he do? No, well, not the mitzvah of Yibum, because he's not a surviving brother. I mean, he wasn't a brother to Machlon, right? But he's related. And he's a cousin, and there's no iser of, the cousins are allowed to marry each other, even with all the arayos in place. Cousins can marry each other, so he's going to now marry his cousin's wife. So we're not going to call that Yibum, but we'll give it a term very similar, Geula. Okay, the Ramban, very, very basic, very fundamental. Okay, Adkan, that's the brief introduction to the Masechta. I think we're now prepared. We look at the Mishnah, we're on the top of Beis Amad Aleph. Chamash Yisrei Nashim Poshut Sarasim B'Tzaret Sarasehim. So there are 15 women who exempt their co-wives and the co-wives of their co-wives. I highly recommend this sefer. This sefer that I'm holding in my hand right now is called Siyur L'Maseches Yevamos. The title is basically Pictures for Masechet Yevamos, and it is fantastic. It was prepared for the last round of Masechet Yevamos and the Daf Yomi. Can you get it at your local bookstore? Probably not. Okay, but it's for, I'll show it to you afterwards. I'll.
I think my cats ordered it.
Okay, maybe you can. All right, so. Sorry. Either way, it's really great. I will look at it constantly in terms of an aid and a guide to get us through some of these cases of family. Some people are very good at this. Some people understand a mother-in-law, mother of the mother-in-law, right? Maternal sister, paternal sister. Some people are very good with it, and some people just have, you know, somewhat of a mental block. It's, you know, it's hard to keep everything in mind. He makes a family picture, and most of these families are dysfunctional. So, which is great. Your family's dysfunctional. I think my family's dysfunctional. You'll be happy to know that we're going to be living in dysfunctional families for the next 4 months. So and just to get a good sense of how this family works, in order to get from one case to the next case. So he really lays everything out. It's fantastic. I highly recommend it. It's just a strong way to help see all these cases that we're discussing. Before I'm going to explain some of these cases with detail, but the truth of the matter is that we're going to go through the 15. I'm not going to go step by step in terms of how we got to this place. But let me just explain the place that we're at. The place where it is as follows. We're going to deal with two brothers, right? Our construct case is always going to be Reuben and Shimon. Where Reuben is, and in the picture book, that's how they describe it, as Reuben and Shimon. So Reuben is going to be the surviving brother, and Shimon's going to be is going to die often and repeatedly throughout our Masechta. And basically what happens now in our Mishnah is that we're going to be describing a scenario where Shimon's going to be married, Shimon's going to die, Shimon's wife or wives, okay, usually it's going to be more than one, just to make these cases more, not to make them more complicated, but just because you'll see that there's going to be other halachas that are coming out in the scenario of multiple wives. And now the surviving brother is going to be Reuven. Mind you that there could be surviving brothers. Doesn't have to be one. But right now, just to keep it simple, one surviving brother, Reuven. And now Reuven has a mitzvah of Yibam. Okay, now the mitzvah of Yibam is going to demand that he marry one of the wives of the surviving brother. Of the dead brother. Okay, so if Shimon was married to two women and Shimon dies, Reuven, now with the mitzvah of Yibam, will marry one of the two. Okay. And that will be the mitzvah of Yibam. In this Mishnah, what we're going to be describing are 15 different scenarios where when Shimon dies, the women, or let's just say right now one, let's just keep it simple right now, and then I'll introduce the second wife in just a moment. But let's say the surviving wife is an erva to the surviving brother. Reuven now is looking at his sister-in-law, and his sister-in-law also happens to be one of the Arayos in the Torah. Now, if you think about what I just said, you realize, what do you mean? What do you mean if she's an erva? She is an erva, meaning she was married to the brother. One of the Arayos in the Torah is Eshes Ach, the wife of your brother. She already is an erva. Okay, fine, but the Torah permitted that erva. As we point down the Ramban, the Torah carves out one heter. So the fact that she is your brother's sister, that is, the Torah says, you get a pass. That arayus, you look past that arayus, and you marry her, because that's a mitzvah of Yibam. And later on the Masechta, we're going to be talking about how the mitzvah's essay is going to override the los essay, the negative prohibition, but that's for later on. Okay, but in addition to her being your sister-in-law, let's say she's another one of the arayus. Let's start off with the simplest example, the one that the Mishnah starts off with. Let's say that she is Reuven's daughter. Is that strange? Not at all. Meaning Shimon married his niece. Okay, nowadays the minig is not to marry your niece. But a niece is not one of the arayos in the Torah. So let's say Shimon married his niece. Shimon married Reuven's daughter. Shimon dies. So now Shimon's looking at his daughter for the mitzvah of Yibum. Thank you. Oh, you caught on quickly. Okay, and Reuven now is looking at his daughter for the mitzvah of Yibum. Can't do it. His daughter is one of the arayos in the Torah. Aside from the fact of how uncomfortable that is and how, right, it's something you don't even want to think about. But, again, it's an arayus. Just like Eshes Ach, just like the wife of your brother was one of the arayus in the Torah. So now Reuven is looking at his daughter for the mitzvah of Yibam. The Mishnah says, Pitur, there is no mitzvah of Yibam. The Isser arayus is going to trump the mitzvah of Yibam. Okay, that is point number one in the Mishnah. Now let's move on to a next point in the Mishnah, right? That's the potros. Now what about Sarah saying, what about a co-wife? Okay, now here it's now where it starts to get a little bit complicated. Let's say Shimon was married to two wives, one of them being the daughter of Reuven, and the other one is just another woman. Okay, so now he dies and he has now two surviving wives. Obviously Reuven looks at his daughter and there's no mitzvah of Yibum, because she's a daughter. That's one of the arayos in the Torah. What about the other wife? She's not his daughter, so let's make an argument. He has a mitzvah of Yibum with the other wife. Fair argument. The Torah says no. Now, where does the Torah say that? It's not explicitly in the Torah. That's drushas. We're going to learn the drushas later on. But the Torah says no. meaning not only is your daughter going to be excused from the mitzvah of Yibum, and when I say excused, I mean you will be prohibited from marrying your daughter even in the face of the mitzvah of Yibum, but also the co-wife as well, also you're going to be prohibited. She's now what's called a tsaros erva, a co-wife of an erva, and therefore you cannot marry her as well. No mitzvah of Yibum. Now, let's go on to the next point of the Mishnah. Vitsaros sarosehem, and the co-wife of the co-wife. And here's now where it gets probably the most complicated. Truth of the matter is, it's going to get more complicated, but just as a way of introducing ourselves to all these concepts. Let's say as follows. Let's say there are three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Shimon's married to two wives. One, he married his niece, Reuven's daughter, and he married another woman. And Shimon dies. And now, Levi does the mitzvah of Yibum. And he can, because from Levi's perspective, there's no erva. Again, aside from Eshesach, obviously, but there's no erva, meaning both of those women are eligible to Levi. And so therefore, what he does is he marries one of the surviving wives. And let's say instead of marrying his niece, he chooses the other woman. He marries the other woman. What we have already identified as being the tsaros erva. And let's say Levi, now married to the tsaros erva, is married also to another woman as well. And now, Levi dies. Okay. The surviving brother now is Reuven. Reuven is looking at two women now to perform the mitzvah of Yibum. One of them was formerly married to Shimon, and when Shimon died, she was prohibited to him at the time because she was the co-wife of his daughter. She's a tsaros erva. So now when Levi dies, she still has that status of tsaros erva. She will be exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum, and so will her co-wife. And that's what the Mishnah is referring to as tsaros sarosehim, the co-wife of the co-wife. And the Mishnah says that sofa olam, and that extends indefinitely, meaning so that if you were constructing a scenario where I have, let's say, 10 brothers, and again, one after another dies, and again, now they have the co-wife who is married to the next brother, and the co-wife married to the next brother, etc., etc., it doesn't matter how far it extends, all those co-wives are going to be exempt in the event that they all fall in front of Reuven at one point in time, even if they are derivatives, if you will, I'm using that term very loosely over here, even if they're derivatives of the original erva of Reuven's daughter. Adkan, that gets us through the basic concepts of the ptur of erva, the ptur of a co-wife of an erva, and the ptur of the co-wife of a co-wife of an erva. So again, let's see the mission inside. And they are. So again, these 15 scenarios are basically a case in which Shimon is dead, leaving now his wife or wives to Reuven to perform the mitzvah of Yibum. And we're going to now look at 15 different scenarios where Reuven cannot do the mitzvah of Yibum because the woman that he's looking at is an erva to him, aside from Eshesach, meaning another erva to him. Now, case number one, Bito. Okay, so it's his daughter. That means that Shimon married his niece. Shimon dies, and now he's looking at his daughter to perform the mitzvah of Yibum. There is no mitzvah of Yibum. Two, Bas Ishto. Thank you. Lost my place, and that was early on to lose my place. Bas Bito, his granddaughter. So that means that Shimon married his granddaughter. And Shimon dies. And now he's looking at his granddaughter. Bas Beno, granddaughter through a son. Either way, it's his granddaughter. And so therefore, there's a ptur. Again, the word ptur over here is not the most definitive way to say it. He cannot perform the mitzvah Yibum, because again, now this woman who's being presented to him is his granddaughter, she's an erva. Bas Ishto, daughter of his wife. Daughter of his wife is married to his brother. Again, obviously, different woman. Again, for all these cases, you want to see them in detail? Again, I highly recommend this Sefer, Tzirim L'Maseches Yevamos. Okay, he actually graphically outlines each one of these cases. But again, he's looking at now the daughter of his wife. So, Bas Bina, Ubas Bita, the daughter of her son.
There's no gene connections.
No. In other words, so some of these arise are created through marriage. Correct. Bas Bina, Ubas Bita, the daughter of her son, the daughter of her daughter. Okay. So again, so now it's a granddaughter, but daughter or granddaughter of your wife, not yours. Chamoso, odd, your mother-in-law. meaning that your brother was married to your mother-in-law. Okay, obviously she was widowed or divorced, and then your brother-in-law married her. Again, sounds a little dysfunctional. Okay, your brother married your mother-in-law, but that's far from the point. Point is that now if your brother dies and you have your mother-in-law for the mitzvah of Yibum, she's an erva. You can't marry her. The erva is going to trump the mitzvah of Yibum. Eim chamos ve'eim chamav. The mother of your mother-in-law, the mother of your father-in-law. Again, that's more arayos. Achoso me'imo. Let's say she's the sister of your mother. So in other words, again, your brother died, and you're looking at now your maternal sister. How did your brother marry your maternal sister? So again, see the diagram, see the chart for a construction case in which your brother was able to legitimately marry your maternal sister. He did so. Your brother died. Shimon dies. And now the Reuben is looking at his maternal sister. No mitzvah yibum. Achos imo, sister of his mother. Shimon marries his mother's sister. Again, how did that happen? Again, see the diagram for a detailed look of how it was possible that he married his mother's sister, but how did Shimon marry Reuven's mother's sister? But he did. Shimon dies, and now Reuven's looking at his aunt for the mitzvah of Yibum. Once again, he can't do the mitzvah. She's an erva. Okay. Achos ishto ve'eshes achiv mi'imo. The sister of your wife. Again, see the diagram for a chart of how that happened, how Shimon married the sister of your wife, but he did. Well, but that's really easy, meaning that's two brothers marrying two sisters. Okay? So, ve'eshes achiv mi'imo. And the wife of your brother, but only maternally. Okay? In these scenarios, there's not going to be a mitzvah of Yibum. Because again, the only time there's going to be a mitzvah of Yibum is only when your paternal brother dies, and then there is a childless, then and only then is there going to be a mitzvah of Yibum. In fact, take a look at Rashi, Achoso Me'imo. Right, I'm going back one case. I apologize for going out of order. Achos me'imo, take a look at Rashi. Shenises la'achiv me'aviv. Omeiz v'chein achos imo. Shenises achiv me'aviv. She'ein chiv yibam ela be'achiv mena'av. Rashi says that the mitzvah of yibam is only one going to be. They are paternal brothers, not maternal brothers. So what we call here in America, a half-brother. So if you're a half-brother, but the parent that you share is a mother, there's no mitzvah of yibam. The mitzvah of Yibam is only when you're sharing a father. Rashi says, how do I know that? Because it says, because the Torah, when describing the mitzvah of Yibam, says the two brothers are sitting together. And how does it tell us that they have to be paternal? Rashi says, because it connects, right, the drasha is coming up later in the Gemara, it connects to the Achva of Yaakov, the brotherhood of Yaakov, meaning Yaakov's sons. They were all brothers paternally, not maternally. The four different mothers gave birth to the 12 Shvatim. But in terms of the paternal relationship, they're brothers. So in terms of the definition of brothers when it comes to the mitzvah of Yibum, it has to be paternal, not maternal. That's why these last two cases of Achos Imo and Achos Achos Ishto and Eshes Achiv Me'imo. So, no, I was right the first time. These cases of Achos Me'imo and Eshes Achiv Me'imo, since there is a brotherhood, but only through the mother, therefore there's no mitzvah Yibum. And again, all you're left with is the Isser Erva of Eshes Ach. Next, top of Beis Amud Beis. The Mishnah continues. Eshes Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. Okay. Now, in this case over here, we're not learning a new Arayos, a new one of the Arayos, but here what we're doing is we're describing the following scenario. Reuben and Shimon are brothers, and Shimon is married to a woman, and Shimon dies. Okay, if you want to follow me in terms of the book, it's page 16. Okay. So Reuben and Shimon are brothers, so. Reuven dies, and we'll start off with Reuven dying. Okay, there's going to be a couple deaths in the family. No, here, just I'm on page 16. Just follow me. So Reuben and Shimon are brothers. So Reuben married, the girl's name is Chana. Okay, I'm just following the chart over here. Reuben dies. And Shimon now performs the mitzvah of Yibum with his sister-in-law Chana. Shimon also is married to another wife, Penina. Fine, Chana, Penina, you're right. Yeah, you know how you figured out how they picked those two names. And then after that, is the birth of a new brother. The new birth of the new brother, and that's Levi. Okay, so Levi came into existence after Reuben died. So that means that Reuben and Levi, although being brothers, never knew each other, didn't exist in the world at the same time. Okay. Now, and I'm sorry, I missed an important point, and that is, and I know this is going to come up in the discussion later on, in this particular scenario, when did Levi come into this world? After the death of Reuven, but before Shimon picks her up through the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay? That will be discussion later on, but right now let's keep it. I'm just staying with the chart, and you'll see. It's going to be more detailed later on. And now Shimon is married to Chana, married to Penina. Shimon dies, and now Levi is looking at two women to perform the mitzvah of Yibum. But here's the problem. The problem is that Chana is a Yibum to Levi, a Yavama to Levi, but she was at one point in time married to Levi's brother, who he never shared this world with, who he was not living in the world at the same time. In this scenario, there is no mitzvah of Yibum, and she to him is only the Isser of Eshazah. Why should that be? We will talk about that later in the Masechta. But that's another case in which there is a Yibum opportunity, but the Isser Arayus is going to trump the Yibum mitzvah. V'kalaso. And finally, the Mishnah ends off with number 15, and that is Kalaso, that is the daughter-in-law. Daughter-in-law, if Shimon is married to the daughter-in-law of Reuven, again, obviously she was either divorced or widowed, and then Shimon marries her, and then Shimon dies. So now Reuven cannot do the mitzvah of Yibum because there's an Isser in the Torah. One of the Arayos is you cannot marry your daughter-in-law, even though, we're going to make the obvious point, she currently is no longer your daughter-in-law. Meaning by virtue of the fact that she married your brother, that means that she was either widowed or divorced. So that means then that she's no longer married to your child, but still, to your son, but still, once an Erva, always an Erva. I will say that again, that's an important statement, and that comes up again and again. Once an Erva, always an Erva. Meaning once she has the status of Erva, she will perpetuate, she will continue with that status of Erva. And to that rule, remember, with every rule there's exceptions. To that rule, there's one exception. What's the one exception where once an Erva, always an Erva? Right? Good question. Okay, the sisters. Right? Meaning that when you're married to one sister and she dies, so your sister-in-law, meaning your wife's sister, becomes mutter to you. Okay? The only exception to once an Erva, always an Erva. But the rule is once an Erva, always an Erva. So in this case, once she was your daughter-in-law, she will always have the status of Kalaso, even if death or divorce occurs. Okay. Those are the 15 scenarios of Yavamas. What I did not do is I did not go through each one of them with great detail in terms of outlining how it happens. Okay. So you have more to do today in terms of homework. But in other words, in all these scenarios, basically what happens is that Reuven is looking at a Yibum opportunity with a woman who, in addition to being a Shetach, is on any one of the other Arayos that we mentioned in this Mishnah. And because of that, the Isser Arayos is going to trump the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, or if you'd like to say it a different way, there is no mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, and I understand the subtleties in the two different ways I said it, but in the meantime, just to understand the basic point of the Mishnah, that is the basic outline of the Mishnah. And then from this point going forward, we're going to finish the Mishnah right now. Basically, we have explanation of everything we just said, but more spelled out. So, Hari Elu Pochos Saraseim, they will excuse the Kowais, Vitzarat Saraseim, and the Kowais of the Kowais, Mina Chalitza, Mina Yibum, from both the Mitzvah of Chalitza and the Mitzvah of Yibum, Ad Sofa Olam, and it continues indefinitely, as I described earlier, where basically the co-wife marries another brother, and that brother dies, and the co-wife of that brother marries another brother, and that brother dies. And you can continue down, however many brothers they may be. If they all end up falling back to Reuven, they're all going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum, because one of the original The original Yavama was his erva. Let's go with the simple case of his daughter. And then all of them are co-wives or co-wives of the co-wives. So they're all given the status of erva, and there's no mitzvah of yibam.
If a woman marries two husbands and they die, is it think that she's not
later on? Later on, we're going to be discussing that. Right? That's a big discussion coming up later in the Masechta. I don't remember which stuff, but it's somewhere in the middle of this Masechta. The Gemara is going to be discussing your very question. Okay. And then the Mishnah makes another point, which, truth be told, is intuitive, but the Mishnah spells it out. If in any one of these scenarios, let's say the erva dies. Again, let's go with the first case. It's the easiest case. And Reuven and Shimon marries two wives. One of them is the daughter of Reuven, his niece, and the other is another woman. And then, let's say that instead of Shimon dying first, let's say Rahman Letzlan, his niece dies first, meaning his wife. His niece dies first. And then Shimon dies, so now the one surviving wife is not the co-wife of an erva. Meaning in order to gain the status of the co-wife of an erva, you must be the co-wife of the erva at the time of death of Shimon. If at the time of death of Shimon, she once was married to a erva to Reuven, but at the time of death she's not, so therefore there is now no longer an exemption from the mitzvah of Yibum, otherwise stated, there's a mitzvah of Yibum. Omianu, or let's say that the erva performs miyun, which is for the time being, I'll describe it as an annulment. It's more complicated than that, but just for the points of simplicity and brevity, let's just describe it as an annulment. Really, there's an annulment of a marriage in the Torah? Yes. It's called miyun. We'll talk more about it later on. On is garshu, or let's say she divorces, either one of those scenarios. And again, it's the same basic point. If his niece is no longer married to Shimon at the time when Shimon dies, so then his other surviving wife is now subject to the mitzvah of Yibum. Oshinimtsu Ilonis. Or let's say his niece was an Ilonis. She was barren. And not just barren, but physically unable to have children. So that is grounds for a dissolvement of the marriage. So now, if that's the case, so then she even... post-mortem, she was never considered married to Shimon. It's what we call an halacha mekach taos. She was never married to Shimon, so therefore Shimon only has one surviving wife, the non-erva wife. Reuven obviously now has a mitzvah of Yibum.
She's alive or she's dead?
Even if she's alive, no, if she's dead, fine. But even if she's alive, the marriage was not considered a marriage. So then mutaras. So then it's permissible. And again, by the way, the term mutaras also, it doesn't accurately describe what's going on over here. It's more than mutaras. Mitzvah. Okay. Well, are there right? All these comments I'm making, the Gemara is going to pick up on. Meaning I'm just foreshadowing.
When did somebody become
alive? She didn't become. She was. Just wasn't disclosed at the time of marriage. She didn't have the proper equipment. Or the equipment wasn't working.
Okay.
Correct. That was okay. A little crass. I apologize. V'yata yachol omar bechamoso uve'em chamoso uve'em chamiv. Shenimtsu ilonis oshimeyanu. And then the Gemara makes just another point, which is again intuitive. We would have figured this out. This is a scenario in which we described. Well, you know, if the erva is an ilonis, you can't say that about your mother-in-law, because she's a mother to your wife. She's not an ilonis. So this description of, if any one of them is an islandist, so the Mishnah just makes the obvious point, but the Mishnah wants to cross the T's and dot the I's. This islandist description cannot be a description of either your mother-in-law or your mother-in-law's mother or your father-in-law's mother. Okay, just, again, an obvious point. Kate said, Poshur Sarasehim. And now the Mishnah just spells out a scenario of how it's going to exempt the co-wife. Hai sabito o'achas mikol harayis ha'ela nesuos la'achiv. So in a scenario where the Reuven's daughter is married to Shimon. Shimon's married to his niece. And in addition to that, he also has other wives as well. V'lo isha acheres. Umeis. And Shimon dies. K'shem shebita petura. Just like Shimon's daughter is exempt from the mitzvah of Yibam. Kach tzarasa petura. And so too is the co-wife going to be exempt from the mitzvah. Because again, that's the status of tzaras erva. And Tzaras Erva now is no longer a mitzvah yibum opportunity. And if there's no mitzvah yibum, so then we default back to the erva of Eishes Ach. She's your brother's wife. She was your brother's wife. Halka Tzaras Bita v'nasos Achiv Hasheni. Now, again, Mishnah's just spelling everything out. Let's say the surviving co-wife marries another brother. So let's say Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Shimon dies. This is Reuven's daughter, one of the wives. And now Levi picks up one of the wives for the mitzvah of Yibum. And Levi dies. V'lo isha acheres. And Levi, in addition to that, also had other wives as well. Umeis. Kashem shit saras bito petura. Just like the co-wife of the daughter is exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum, even though, mind you, now she's not a co-wife to your daughter. She was a co-wife to your daughter. But again, this is a status. Once a co-wife to your daughter, always a co-wife to your daughter. She will always have that status. And more than that, she will also exempt a new co-wife. So if Levi dies and is survived by the co-wife of your erva, the ex-co-wife of your erva, if that makes sense, and Levi also had other surviving daughters, so they too will be exempt from the mitzvah of Yibam. Kach saras saras petura afilo hein mea. And even if we can envision a scenario where there are 100 brothers, okay, it's hard to imagine. Yaakov had 12, so, you know, not that far from 100. 88 shy. So Kate said, he makes this arasem utaras haisabito achas mikol harais ha'el nesuos achiv v'lo isha acheres meisabito onis garsha v'acharkach meis achiv sarasem utaras. And then again, the Mishnah just spells out the scenario in which it would be a mitzvah yibam opportunity. Let's say your daughter either dies or divorces Shimon prior to the death of Shimon, so then Shimon's surviving wives would have a mitzvah yibam. Okay. V'chol ha'yichol alamayin v'lo mi'ana tzaras ha'cholesis v'lo mis'ya b'emes. Now, if there was an opportunity for mi'un, in other words, there's an annulment opportunity, and annulment was not done, so then the surviving co-wife would do chalitza and not yibum. Okay, that last line of the Mishnah requires a lot more explanation. I did not successfully explain it. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow, the first thing we'll do is I'll just pick up on that last line of the Mishnah. I'll explain that in more detail, and we will continue. Welcome to the world of Yevamos. Anyone who wants to see the Sefer more in depth, or if you want to, you know, take a look at it for a little bit, so take a picture of it. You can. Anyway, no. No, this is it, to my knowledge.